My grandmothers both sat me down with Bach separately around the same time. My grandma Celia played me a great recording of the Brandenburg Concertos, and my grandma Sal played me Gould's second recording of the Goldbergs. And right then, everything changed for me, and I realized that my perception of classical music was horribly askew.
That epiphany Chris Thiele felt in his teens is probably one shared by many people upon encountering Bach's music for the first time. And for years, Thiele's own mandolin playing has provided an epiphany of its own kind for anyone who loves folk and bluegrass. Meanwhile, Bach was, for the recent MacArthur Grant recipient, a private, personal pursuit. That is, until now. Chris Thiele joins us for a conversation about and performance of Bach's music, coming up on the Bach Hour. Hello, I'm Brian McCreath. Welcome to the Bach Hour from 99.5 WCRB, a part of WGBH Boston. Taking Bach's music into different sound worlds is far from uncommon, but each time an artist or composer makes that leap, there's a unique, fascinating alchemy. It's as if Bach's music remains simultaneously untouched and transformed through the injection of a distinct new personality into the music. You'll hear that alchemy at work later in the program with Chris Thiele. Also on the program is Bach's Cantata No. 49, Ich gehe und suche mit Verlangen, or I Go Forth and Seek with Longing. You can find a translation of the text for that piece at our website, classicalwcrb.org, where you can also hear this program again on demand. Again, that's at classicalwcrb.org. Before that cantata, though, here's a set of the two-part Inventions by Bach. This is pianist Till Fellner. Thank you. That's a set of the little keyboard jewels known as the Two-Part Inventions by Bach, performed here by Till Fellner. The cantata number 49, Ich gehe und suche mit Verlangen, or I Go Forth and Seek with Longing, is one of the several so-called dialogue cantatas by Bach, in which two soloists play out a conversation between Jesus and the soul. In this case, that conversation is inspired by the parable of the royal wedding feast in the Gospel of Matthew. It makes for a sort of dual symbolism. As in other dialogue cantatas, the soprano sings the role of the soul of a believer, and the bass sings the role of Jesus. But in the context of a wedding, Jesus is the husband, and the soul is the wife. It makes for an unusually sensuous cantata, creating the feeling of a love poem with two characters pining away for each other and finally uniting in the end. Bach starts with a sparkling instrumental movement that evokes a celebration. It features a virtuosic organ solo, which Bach may have had in mind for his eldest son to play when the piece was new in 1726. By that point, Wilhelm Friedemann was quite the accomplished organist, and Bach liked the music so much that he returned to it years later to refashion it into the opening movement of a harpsichord concerto. The dialogue begins with the bass soloist singing a text drawn from the Song of Songs, that set of love poetry from the Bible. Over a plodding, winding accompaniment from the instruments, he sings, "I go forth and seek with longing for you, my dove, my loveliest bride."
Meine Taube, schönste Braut, dich, dich, meine Taube, schönste Braut.
From that point, the two soloists' dialogue is nothing short of ravishing, and maybe even erotic at times, with lines like, "Come and be kissed, and you shall enjoy your rich feast," and "My heart remains entwined with yours." As the counterpoint to the bass soloist's opening aria on Searching, the soprano soloist sings an aria that beckons him with the words, "I am glorious, I am beautiful, to inflame my Savior." When the two characters come together to end the piece, the soprano sings a verse from the chorale, "How beautifully shines the morning star," symbolizing the new beginning that comes with unification with the divine. If you'd like to see a translation of this piece from Boston's Emmanuel Music, just visit us online at classicalwcrb.org. Here is Bach's cantata number 49 with soprano Carolina Wainans and bass Levon Termont. They're joined by the Belgian ensemble Il Gardellino and their director Marcel Ponsele here on the Bach Hour. Thank you.
Meine Taube, dich, meine Taube. Ich bin herrlich, ich bin schön. bald mein Herz dir gewogen, so will ich mich mit dir in Ewigkeit vertrauen und verloben.
Yeah.
Aufenthalt. Mach auf, mein Aufenthalt, mach auf, mein Aufenthalt, mach auf, mein Aufenthalt, mach auf, mein Aufenthalt, mach auf, mein
The cantata number 49 by Bach, Ich gehe und suche mit Verlangen, or I go forth and seek with longing. The soloists were soprano Carolina Wainantz and bass Levon Termont. Marcel Ponsele directed Il Gardellino. When he was chosen as a fellow by the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, what most of us call getting a genius grant, in 2012, mandolin player, composer, and singer Chris Thiele said, I'm trying to find the middle between music that's visceral and music that's cerebral. He went on to say that he had recently been exploring both a solo violin sonata by Béla Bartók and Surf's Up by the Beach Boys. For all the energy, creativity, and outright fun that Chris Thiele brings to any of his performances, it's all based ultimately on searching. That was the sense I got when I met Chris Thiele the morning after a concert he gave for thousands of people at Tanglewood in the Berkshires of Western Massachusetts. He had played with cellist Yo-Yo Ma, fiddler Stuart Duncan, and bassist Edgar Meyer in a project they call the Goat Rodeo Sessions. But it was something a bit more intimate we talked about. Bach played alone on the mandolin. Chris's recording of Bach's music brings a public expression to what he had been playing largely in private for many years. It was his grandmothers, both music teachers, who separately introduced Chris Thiele to Bach when he was a teenager.
My grandma Celia played me a great recording of the Brandenburg Concertos, and my grandma Sal played me Gould's second recording of the Goldbergs. And previous to that, I had always sort of considered classical music to be kind of, stuffy or whatever it is. I was thinking powdered wigs and music that just didn't necessitate a physical reaction in the way that I think of folk music as kind of, that's really the point, is to get you moving in some way or another, even if it's just to tap like your big toe. But when I heard Gould play the Goldbergs, and especially that second recording, it was so important to him to have a really rhythmically, like an orderly rhythmic presentation of those pieces, so that it was so clear that they basically, Bach was riffing on that, you know, dong gong gong dun da da dong gong gong. She sat me down and he kicks into that first variation, ga ga gong da 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 da, and I defy you not to tap your foot. Like he presented that music so at equal parts. It's so matter of fact. It's so elemental, but at the same time, you know, is presenting this example of human ingenuity that's about as striking as it gets. And so right then, everything changed for me, and I realized that my perception of classical music was horribly askew, and that the works of Bach and Beethoven and Mozart and things like that they were living, breathing things that could be presented in such a way that your body would absolutely have a reaction, not just your mind. Thank you.
So people in almost any kind of music are always messing around with Bach. It's something that people do to wake up in the morning sometimes or chill out after a concert, whatever. But where comes the leap from not kind of messing around with this? I love these recordings. I'm going to put them on a disc and release this. What'd you do that for?
I think for me, all music that I work on is, if I feel like it's a worthwhile way to spend time, that I will ultimately want to present it. I love showing people the stuff that I love. And when I actually decide that, for instance, something I've written is good enough for public consumption, I mean, I can't wait to show you. It's like, check out this thing I've been working on. What do you think? It's an interesting chord change. And the first thing that made me feel like I might actually have something to say on these pieces was with those 3- and 4-part chords and the fugues. It's like, it's such a hurdle for a violinist as you're going along and in say the G minor fugue, and you're like dun 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 da dun dun dun, like all good, fine, and then the double stops start happening, dun 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 da da dun dun dun, still fine, can get around those, dun 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 da da dun 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 dun, you know, that stuff starts happening, and then you get like a 4-part chord, and it's ja jung jung ja jung jung ja jung jung ja jung jung ja. And it's incredible what they're able to do, but your rhythmic continuity has to be interrupted. And that can be a really interesting thing. And the way that violinists get around that problem is always really interesting to me. It's not a problem on the mandolin.
And that fugue you just heard Chris Thiele use as an example of what the mandolin is capable of is just one part of the Sonata No. 1 in G minor by Bach. Thank you.
Thank you.
I've always just wanted to have a better and better relationship with music. And I think for just about any serious musician, interacting with Bach is an essential part of that relationship. And, you know, I feel like the arguments amongst musicians always start after Bach, you know, and that at you're sitting down with a beer and, you know, who's the greatest musician ever? Boring. Who's the second greatest musician ever? Arguments.
Chris Thiele, sitting on the back porch of a house in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where I met him to talk about his recording of solo violin sonatas and partitas by Bach. You heard one part of that recording, the Sonata No. 1 in G minor. There's much more of my conversation with Chris Thiele at our website, classicalwcrb.org. Chris talked about some of the other recordings of Bach's music that captured him early on and what playing Bach has meant for all the rest of the music he plays. That's also where you can hear this entire program on demand. Again, that's at classicalwcrb.org. Thank you for joining me today, and thanks also to Chris Thiele and to audio engineer Antonio Oliart-Ross. I'm Brian McCreath, and I'll hope to have your company again next week here on the Bach Hour.